Welcome, welcome, welcome. Oh my goodness, it's your favorite part of the week. I'm just kidding. That was very haughty of me. I can't say that. But I thank you all so much for joining. This is one of my favorite parts of the week, is to get rid of my corporate job and come into a studio and talk about some really important stuff with some even more important people. And that is absolutely happening this week as we welcome a returning guest, the smartest person I've ever spoken with, the VP of Political Studies from the Niskanen Center, my friend and yours, Jeff Cabaservice. How are you, sir? Welcome.
Hey, good to be with you, Mark.
Yeah, thank you so much. A lot has happened since you were on before. Holy cow! You did some traveling personally. I loved seeing your pictures. You went to out down south in Texas, New Orleans, and I think you traveled to the land of my ancestors in Germany.
Yeah, a lot of travel. I'm just looking at myself in your video feed, thinking I look pretty beat down.
I think we all do, buddy.
A lot going on. And, it's not just the political events. Of course, we're talking the day after that American Airlines flight collided with the helicopter and went down to the Potomac here in D.C. So thinking of all of the people who were affected by that.
Yes. And, as more things come out, what a horrible tragedy, gosh, we haven't had something like that since, 2013? And was that?
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Yeah. Yeah, it is a very somber day here today too. But when you went to Germany, was that personal business? Was that what were you?
Well, part of the beauty of my job is I'm never off the job. I spend my weekends reading the books that I have to talk about during the weekdays.
Yeah.
And even when I'm traveling to somewhere like Germany, it's usually with some purpose in mind. In my most recent case, when I was in Germany, I went to the presidential building, their equivalent of the White House. Mm-hmm. I talked with a number of people about the problems that they're having, which aren't just political problems, but I guess a problem in that things don't seem to work as well as they once did in democratic societies all around the world.
What is happening?
There's a lot of dialogue about that. Well, it's a good question, but more and more people on both the left and the right are thinking about this because, it is a problem of governance and delivery, government's ability to deliver on its promises, and that's what we're all struggling with.
Because it's interesting. I'm talking with people who are, in all sorts of stages of grief and stages of what am I going to do next, and a relative of mine has a child that fits into one of the categories that is being very much discriminated against. And my aunt was saying, if we have to leave, if we feel more safe to leave, we don't know necessarily where to go. Canada's becoming a little bit more extreme, and things are happening in Germany. And can we dive into that? I wasn't planning on doing that, but what is happening around the world?
Well, I don't think you're quite old enough to remember the 1970s, and I wasn't that old when they happened. But it was just kind of a bummer of a time for a lot of the developed countries. There was recession, and not just recession, but stagflation.
Yes,
this never before seen combination of stagnation plus inflation. And the cities of so many countries seem to fall apart. You think of New York and the way that its graffiti-covered subway cars became kind of indicative of a loss of control generally. You saw hitherto unseen levels of crime, drug addiction, disorder. And in some ways, it feels like parts of the 1970s are coming back to us, and we're as much of a loss at how to deal with that as people were back then. But I don't think any one society has the answer, and at best, we're all going to be trying to work toward different parts of the solution. But clearly what's one very different element from then and now is, the presence of social media, for one thing, but also the way that social media, in ways we don't fully understand, has helped to drive a significant inflow of immigration from what used to be called the less developed world into the developed countries. And the way that that puts those societies under stress at a time when they already can't maintain their social welfare systems. It's causing problems and giving rise to populism all around the globe.
Yeah, it is fascinating how sometimes, once bastions of you know, moderate thought like Canada, you know, or France is now, you know, kind of seeping into the Trumpiness, I guess. You know what I mean? It's a wild time to be a VP of political studies, I think.
it's a wild time to be thinking about politics generally.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've seen this at work in our politics here, because in many ways, you know, the Democrats lost support all across the board in the last election. Mm-hmm. And they particularly lost a lot of support from within the big cities themselves.
Working class people. Yes.
Working class people, minorities,
yes. Yeah.
You know, in a way that just hadn't been seen. And, you know, again, the feeling on the part of those voters who have been talking to pollsters and so on is just that the Democrats are no longer able to deliver in a way that they once were. And not just that they're not able to deliver, but they don't seem to understand that they're not delivering, and they don't seem to care about issues like inflation and public disorder and the stresses caused by immigration.
Yeah, it is interesting how, you know, Republicans used to be the party of the filthy elite, you know, and the rich and all of that. And now that has completely flipped.
Yeah.
You know, unions, UAW? And some of, you know, it has completely gone to the right, who has historically been very anti-union, very, you know,
there's definitely some people in like the national conservative circles who will talk about how the right needs to embrace unions. I think that comes unnaturally to Republicans. They're never really going to fully get there. But, you know, one thing that was fascinating to me about what happened last year was that Joe Biden gave the Teamsters the biggest bribe in a way that any presidential administration has ever done with a union, you know, bailing out their pension fund to the tune of $80 billion. Yeah. And the Teamsters didn't even endorse it. It's just astonishing.
Right. Yeah, that was, that is wild. And, you know, and to kind of see where, never in a million years would I have thought that what happened would have happened. But then, I hate going down this road. I do, but I blame the Atlantic because they published an article that said, Atlantic said how Hitler destroyed or dismantled democracy in 53 days. Well, I think, what do they say? 1 month, 3 weeks, 2 days, 8 hours, and 40 minutes to be precise. I don't know if you read that article, but it was fascinating. You probably know the history better than just about anybody. But I hate saying this because it's that whole, Trumpers are Nazis and all of that. And it's not a way to build a bridge. It's not a way to get people out of that. But when I read that, the parallels were frightening.
Yeah. You know, Germany in the 1930s is not quite the same as America
No.
in 2025. But having said that, I read a piece by David French recently where he was talking about the Nazi jurist Carl Schmitt, who, you know, is not anyone that most Americans ever will have heard of. And did I mention, by the way, he's a Nazi, you know? So his ideas are not the ones that we're talking about. But the reason that he's become influential among people who think about these things in terms of political philosophy is that his principal distinction in politics is the friend-enemy distinction. And politics should be about rewarding your friends, in his view, and punishing your enemies. And ultimately, that really means exterminating your enemies. And if you in America in 2025, you know, are thinking about politics and you've never heard of Carl Schmitt, but you're thinking about the other side as your enemies, and maybe even that something needs to be done to remove them from public life and maybe the planet altogether, then you have wandered into Nazi terrain without knowing it and without knowing anything about the whole rest of the Nazi philosophy and regalia and apparatus. I mean, so in this sense, I am much less concerned by Elon Musk giving a Nazi salute than I am by people in the Republican Party talking seriously about the Democratic Party as their enemy.
Right. And the question that I had too is, you know, and I understand that, you know, Germans, the German Republic was very, very young. They didn't have the safeguards that we have here. So in all reality, I don't think that, you know, that's not going to happen to us. I don't believe, but like you say, the parallels were really stark in this article. You know, I didn't realize that he talked about getting rid of the, what is it? The parliamentarian swamp, and then he pardoned people that were criminals as well, and they were seen as heroes. They talked about mass deportations that are poisoning the blood. I mean, like the things that were talked about. We're not going to seep into Nazism, but holy cow, that thinking is very dangerous and can lead to very dangerous things. Are people overreacting with that?
Well, no one wants to hear about my trips, but I was in Munich, Germany.
I absolutely want to hear about that. Yes.
I was blessed. everyone should go to Oktoberfest at least once, as long as you're fairly comfortable with large crowds in which people are drinking enormous quantities of beer.
How was it?
That was great. But, Munich is actually where the Nazi movement got its start. And, in some sense, that was always the Vatican of the Nazi movement, even though it's a city which feels more Italian, I think, than most other cities in Germany. It has a long tradition of artistic innovation and strong culture. But there always was something even in that 19th century Munich culture that was looking for a strong man to bring about a solution to disorder and reassert Germany's proper place in the world. And that brew of nationalism and discontent with a government that can't solve problems and looking for someone who can cut through all of the obstacles to bring that solution, those are going to be present in any society. And the question is, what specific amount of circumstances might bring them to the surface as something dangerous? And in that sense, I recommend that everybody who does go to Munich, don't just go to Oktoberfest, don't just go for the museums. Also have a look at the NS Documentation Center, which is built on the site of the Brown House, which was the Nazi headquarters in Munich. And they have an amazing display of how the society fell to the Nazis, step by step, really, and how it can happen elsewhere. And it's always worth every society thinking about the dangers that could be in store from allowing politics to become existential combat.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I think we're heading to break here in just a moment. That's one of the things that is troubling for me is, okay, we have people that are moderate headed, and how do we get back to that? And we're going to continue this discussion here with Jeff Cabaservice from the Niskanen Center here right after this.